Welcome to day two on our journey of looking into the words of Christ on the cross. I'm so glad that you've joined me again. If the first word embraced all mankind with the escape of the dreadful act of crucifying Jesus, the potential for forgiveness through his prayer, then the second word is a bit more narrow and focuses on one single needy sinner. I want you to note here today that God not only sees the whole world, but he also sees us made up as individuals, and he will go after the one. Once again, we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 39 through 43 say, "One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, 'Do you not even fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed are suffering justly, for we have received what we deserve as for our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong.' He was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise.'" Isaiah 53 prophesied that Jesus would be numbered with the transgressors. And this fulfilled quite literally that when Jesus was crucified in the company of two thieves. Now, I should say that according to Matthew and Mark's account, both of these robbers were insulting Christ, Jesus. But here we also can see the importance of putting the whole scripture together to get a fuller picture. And at some point during these 6 hours Jesus was on the cross, one of the criminals had a revelation of the Christ and subsequently had a penitent heart. Some point it dawned on him that he was witnessing something far more than normal, something that was not of this earth. One of these criminals that Jesus was crucified with had recognized him as the Savior and put faith in him as his personal Savior. And here's a wonderful truth for us to be reminded that no man is beyond hope of redemption when there is still some fear of God in them. As this criminal spoke, faith began to rise up in his soul, and he blurted out in his appeal after rebuking the other criminal, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And this is a plea that certainly did not fall on deaf ears. The response from Jesus, I like to imagine, was immediate. He says, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." What wonderful faith this sinner had found in Jesus, and what a beautiful response of hope that Jesus had offered to him and to each of us. If we would just turn our hearts and our prayers to him and accept his forgiveness, we too will also be with Jesus at the end of our lives. "Truly," he says, "you shall be with me in paradise today." This term paradise is really, it's a Persian word that meant garden of delights. The word is used in the Septuagint. That's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It is used to describe the Garden of Eden, that first perfect garden which God made for Adam and for Eve. And it also refers to heaven in Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 2 from John. When a Persian king had wished to do one of his subjects a very special honor, he made him a companion in the garden or paradise. And he was chosen to walk in the royal garden with the king. And so it was more important than just the surface in English that we have of Jesus promising something good for this penitent robber after death. He was promising him an honored place that he would be able to accompany Jesus in the courts of heaven. He says, "You will be with me." We see here in this account to what extent Jesus delights in showing mercy. And so therefore, I would say we need to, with humility, come to Jesus with forgiveness. Healing is assured that we will be in his paradise one day. This word, "you will be with me in paradise," teaches some wonderful truths. It illustrates that the way of salvation is wondrously simple. See, the devil likes to blind the eyes of men and women into thinking that it's hard to be saved. It's difficult to come to Christ. It's hard to become a Christian. But this clearly is not true. See, man was simply saved by asking Jesus to save him. In other words, in his request, there was an implication that he felt and confessed his sin, that he recognized a need for salvation, and he believed that the Lord could and would save him. So he committed himself to the Lord and trusted him. See, we need to not make it more complicated than necessary, for if you do, in fact, you're really making it impossible for yourself, because you cannot add to the free gift of grace for yourself or for others. We simply need to confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, there is one further point I want to mention before we leave this phrase, and it's a solemn one. You see, there were two thieves that were crucified with Jesus. One repented, but the other did not. The time of decision came for both when it came to the choice of rebellion or repentance. For the dying thieves, it was irrevocable. It was now or never. You may think that time is on your side before you can commit yourself to following after Christ, but beware, the next moment is promised to no one. We never really know what will happen with our lives here on this earth and when they will come to an end. Choose today to confess your sin before the loving and forgiving Master if you have yet to do that. We may think that time is on our side before we commit ourselves, but beware, the next moment is never promised to anyone. We really never know when our lives on this earth will come to an end, and so we need to choose to confess our sins before the loving and forgiving Master, if you have yet to do that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that if anyone out there does not know you, has not yet committed to knowing you, that, Lord, as they're recognizing that they're a sinner, that they're desiring salvation, Father, they would have the sure hope that they can rest assured knowing that they will be with you in paradise when they should leave and depart this earth. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. We confess that we're sinners, Father, we're in need of a Savior, and we believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.